So what does this have to do with improving my academic performance or making me more successful at relationships or balancing study, work and the rest of my life? Remember the barrier you identified earlier? Have you ever found yourself having thoughts about that barrier? Did having those thoughts get rid of or fix the barrier? Or, after all the thoughts, were you still stuck with the barrier? As you had those thoughts about the barrier, did you also have thoughts about how, if you could just think the right thoughts, or smarter thoughts, or more creative thoughts, then you could solve the problem? Has it been the case with this barrier or others like it that the more thoughts you had, the further it seemed you got from a solution? That doesn't make sense, does it? Usually if you think long enough, hard enough, or smart enough about a problem, you can solve it. As an example of that kind of problem, pause this recording now and try the brain teaser labeled Kindergarten on the page for this section of the program on the website. Then come back and continue listening. Okay, whether or not you solved that problem, you probably went through a process of making images of girls' names, matched with hair or dress colours, then comparing these composites to the information provided and checking that they matched that information. Or you may have, as I had to do, written down a matrix of names, hair and dress colours, and replaced one or other of the names or colours until the combinations matched the information provided. What you did was try something, and if it didn't work, you kept trying other things until it did work. So why isn't that working with your barrier? To explain why this is so, we need to do a detour into the evolution of the human species and its mind. When you compare human beings to every other species on the planet, it's hard not to conclude that in the game of surviving and flourishing, we are the champions. 100,000 years ago, it is estimated there were fewer than 1 million human beings on the planet, perhaps as few as 10,000. We reached our first billion individuals in 1804, and our population now stands at 6.5 billion. No other species has achieved that kind of growth sustained over such a long period. Usually, through natural selection, a species develops a new technology for defense, reproduction, or feeding, and then displaces competing species. Then its population will increase until it fills its environmental niche. At that point, its numbers will stabilize until another more efficient species displaces it. That has not happened with humans, however. The rate of increase of our population has accelerated consistently over the past 100,000 years. I'm not saying that is necessarily a good thing, but even if we fill our environmental niche, planet Earth, that isn't necessarily the end of the story for humans. We've already shown that we can live in the polar regions, underwater, and with some limits, in space. So it's conceivable that we could travel to other planets and live on them, or even build artificial planets to live on. And we may have to if we don't look after this one. Other organisms will only be living on those planets if we take them with us. So what is the survival technology that separates us so starkly from these other species? It's the same tool I asked you to employ in solving the kindergarten brain teaser: cognition or thinking, and language. Early human beings could use language to communicate, for instance, that a tiger was nearby, that a particular fruit was poisonous, or that they could catch game more easily by setting a trap. With thought and language together, they could plan how to build a trap to catch the game, or a fence to protect everyone in the tribe from the tiger. With the additional linguistic technology of writing or symbols, they could even place a warning on the path near where the trap was hidden, so that anyone coming by would not be harmed. This refinement to language meant you not only didn't have to see the trap being built to know where it was, you didn't even have to know the person who'd built the trap to be protected by them. Not so lucky for the tiger or deer caught in the trap. They either missed out on lunch or became lunch, unlike the humans. Once we started working together in these ways to ensure each other's survival, comfort, and safety, we then had to apply our linguistic technology to social relationships. After all, it was through establishing and maintaining those relationships that we were able to develop and build ingenious survival tools like game traps and protective fences. What this has meant for human beings is that, compared to other species, we have become very attentive to and skillful at interpreting subtle emotional cues such as changes in body language, eye gaze, facial expressions, tone of voice, and so on. So far, so good. By harnessing our linguistic, cognitive, and social technologies, we can find food and water, protect ourselves from predators and weather, even pass on useful knowledge to each other, such as the medicinal or toxic qualities of specific plants. Where's the problem, then?